Hello, New York Giants fans, and welcome to a new edition of the Valentine's Views podcast here on Big Blue View Radio, part of the SB Nation family of podcasts. I'm your host, Ed Valentine of Big Blue View. Today's show is going to be a little different. If you actually read BigBlueView.com on a regular basis, you know that I had an opportunity last week to talk to some of the veteran wide receivers, Benny Fowler and Russell Shepard in particular. Did a fairly lengthy piece on the situation with the Giants at wide receiver with Golden Tate being suspended for the first four games of the regular season. The best part of that conversation for me, or that piece for me, was a lengthy conversation that I had with veteran wide receiver Russell Shepard. What I thought I would do for you today is just simply play that conversation that I had with Shep that was in the Quest Diagnostics Training Center. You'll hear some background noise because there were other players, other media wandering around, but I did have about 15 minutes of Shepard's time to speak to him one-on-one. So let me play that interview for you here in just a moment. After that interview, we'll take a break for a word from our sponsors. Then we'll come back and I'll have some thoughts on some of the things that Shepard told me.
You made a play the other night. Mm-hmm. In the preseason game. Mm-hmm. Are you guys, just as a group, Odell's not here anymore. Mm-hmm. Is there more pressure on you guys as a group to step up, make some plays?
I wouldn't say pressure, but there is an emphasis on next man up, guys stepping in, making their plays. I heard somebody say it best, you can't really replace a talent like Odell, but you can replace his production. Mm-hmm. You can scheme up and you can get guys that are consistent, good football players that can contribute on Sundays.
I kind of look at this wide receiver room. There's yourself, there's Benny, there's Cody, Sterling and Golden have done obviously things in the league. Yeah. There are examples all over the league of teams that have successful passing attacks without that one guy. Mm-hmm. Am I correct? Is that how you guys are looking at it this year?
Yeah, that's how we're looking at it. You've seen Tom Brady do it time and time again. You've seen Russell Wilson do it. You've seen several teams have success with not the big-name guys, the expensive guys. And everybody has success in their own way. We have three receivers in our room, and Golden and Cody, as well as Benny, that have won Super Bowls. We have two receivers in our room that have been 1,000-yard guys. And you have guys like myself, TJ Jones, Cody Latimer, and Benny that have stepped in and they've started. We've started several games on Sundays. So you got a little bit of everything. Guys have different skill sets, and you can utilize them in different ways. So it's pretty exciting once we get things going.
What about, for yourself? We've talked before about you weren't initially a wide receiver.
Yeah, definitely.
You've been doing that now for a few years. Is there still another level of productivity that you think you can get to on offense?
I think so. I'm biased obviously towards my game, but I think I can be an every down receiver in this league. I think I can be a four phase special team guy. I just think I'm a pretty good football player when I'm playing really good ball. So my thing is to do whatever they ask me, do it to the best of my ability, and do it to the highest level I could possibly do. But I definitely think there's another level I can scratch a receiver.
Before I turn to another topic, I've got to ask you. I saw the stance that you take sometimes when you're out
at Gunner.
I've never seen that before. Yeah. What is that and where did you learn it?
Well, I just kind of taught it myself. One thing, I have a tendency to play high sometimes. I'm a taller gunner. I'm not a small guy. I'm not huge, but I tend to play high. So it was something that I just kind of put together myself about 4 years ago after my rookie year. And I said, how can I keep myself low when two guys are trying to grab at me? And I kind of invented that stance. Kind of started off as a practice drill, just kind of over-exaggerating, staying low, and it turned into a Sunday thing. So something I put together myself about 5-6 years ago, really 5 years, and it's been my thing, my trademark ever since.
Were you with Coach McGee at that time?
No, I wasn't. Actually, I was with Coach McGahee was with the I want to say the 49ers or the Jets at that point, and I was coming to my second year in Tampa. So, yeah.
You kind of chuckled when I asked you about that.
Yeah. I get a lot of questions about that.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Very.
Mr. Mara was out here a couple minutes ago, and he actually brought up the fact that he feels like the locker room is different this year than it was a year ago. And you're in that locker room every day. I don't want to talk about certain guys or this guy or that guy or whatever, you know, and it's not an Odell conversation. But do you feel like the locker room is different now?
Yeah, a lot.
Do you feel like there's progress that's been made?
So you got different guys in there. You know, you got a lot of young guys that are looking at the older guys and kind of learning from them. You know, last year we had a veteran presence. We had guys that have had success in this league, were accustomed to doing it a certain way, and I think the difference this year is we have a bunch of young guys that are new and willing to do it whatever way. So it's not an attack on anybody, whether it's you talking about Odell, OV, Snacks. I mean, all great football players, Landon, and they can help us, and they were great teammates, amazing teammates. But I think when you take a older locker room and kind of, you know, add in some young guys in there, you tend to get a different vibe, a different feel, and I think that's what Ms. Mara's talking about.
But there is some leadership here still. There's yourself, there's Alec, there's Benny, there's Eli, there's Cody Latimer.
For sure.
There's still, it's just not that big name guys that have been Pro Bowl kind of players.
Exactly.
So there's still a nice,
great mix. I mean, the front office and the coaching staff did a great job of evaluating guys' character and just their mental game before they even brought them into the locker room, regardless of their skill set, their physical skill set. So I think they did a good job of bringing in guys who love football and want to contribute in the team win.
A couple of the young guys have been out here. I've talked to Julian Love. Mm-hmm. I've talked to Alex Wesley. I've talked to TJ Jones a little bit. Some of the other young guys. And the thing that keeps coming up, Julian used the term, he said, these veteran guys aren't standoffish when I ask them questions. How important is that for you guys as, you know, senior guys? Mm-hmm. How important is that in building this team and going forward, you know, for you guys to be willing to help?
I think it's, you know, if you want to win and do it the Giants way, you know, do it the right way, you know, you got to lean on each other. You got to spread wisdom. You have to use the term as we use, iron sharpened iron, you know, and just be able to, you know, go over and beyond your duties as a professional athlete, as a pro, and being able to teach guys how to play a certain way, how to win a certain way. I mean, at the end of the day, it's creating a culture, and you can't create or, you know, start a certain culture a certain way if the older guys don't communicate and really show the young guys how to do it. So I think that's what we're experiencing at this point in time with this organization, this team, is creating a culture that we think can sustain good and bad and win a lot of football games here.
Dave talks about that a lot, and, you know, you've been with a few teams.
And
how important is that to being successful?
It's huge, man, because, you know, when you have a culture and you have a certain level that's expected from your guys, whether it's coaches, players, you know, it's the next man mentality. It's you step in and you contribute. You know, you're productive. And whichever way, like I said, you can't – it's hard to replace, if not impossible, to replace a talent like Odell. But you can be very productive with the absence of Odell, with people that can come in and do what they do.
And part of it is you talked about Tom Brady and you talked about New England. And part of that is simply doing your job.
Exactly.
Run the route the right way.
Exactly.
Be where you're supposed to be.
That's it.
And catch the ball when it comes. Is that the kind of, you know, make the play?
That's it. It's being able, like you said, do your job. I'm doing what you do best. I think a big thing with that, too, is moving on from the next play. Regardless of a 50-yard touchdown or it's a drop where you're wide open, missed block, it's being able to play the next play and just, you know, like you said, do your job. And if you can do that, it tends not to get overwhelming, and it tends to simplify the game for you so you can just play fast.
Let's talk about some of these guys, some of the young DBs, some of the guys in your receiver room. But before I do that, I wanted to ask you, one of the national guys that floats in and out of here, I think it was Ian Rappaport, came in here one day, and he said it just feels like there's a what he termed a quiet confidence around this team a little bit, that the belief in here, at least, is that this group's going to be okay, that this group is better than the outside thinks it is. Do you think that's a good way to describe it?
100%. It starts with the three most important people, our owner, our GM, and our head coach, and it flows down to the team. You know, they're very confident in us. They're very confident in this organization and in the people that they put in certain, you know, places to do certain things. And we feel that from a team standpoint. You know, we tend to, you know, try to numb and, you know, close out the outside noise, but we hear it at times. We are human, and I think this team in general, like you said, just has a quiet confidence and a chip on them shoulder, on our shoulders, just to show that we are the Giants, we are professional athletes, and we can play ball just as good as anybody else in this league.
Let's talk about a couple of the guys in your room. Cody Latimer, just quick thoughts. I'll just throw some names out. Just give me quick thoughts.
Big physical presence. When you talk about power to speed ratio, I mean, he could be the best in the room, if not one of the better guys in the league, as far as being able to, you know, implement both of those, you know, traits in his game, just being strong and being fast. I think his hands are very underrated. You know, usually when the ball comes his way, he makes his plays, and he's just very talented.
And I talked to Benny yesterday for a couple minutes, and unfortunately I didn't talk to him as long as I wanted to. But the thing about Benny that impresses me is that quarterbacks just seem comfortable with him.
Yeah.
Is that a good way to put it? I mean, what is it that helps a guy like that just make quarterbacks comfortable?
Probably the most aware individual in the room. He has a good understanding of every position, and I'm not just talking about receiver, tight end, quarterback, you know, running back. I mean, he's a student of the game. He's very aware, and I think one of the most underrated things about him is his consistency, just being a consistent guy. You know, we're taught to play this imperfect game perfectly, and so at times you're going to have drop balls, missed blocks, bad throws, but when you can get a guy like Benny Fowler that's playing really consistent right now, very consistent ball, no matter what position, what quarterback. It's showing in training camp, it showed in the preseason game, and it's going to show this season. So I think just field awareness and just being a consistent playmaker, consistent guy, I think that's why he's thriving at this point.
TJ,
man, very savvy. You know, he doesn't have the physical skill set that a Cody Latimer or Benny or, you know, even a Corey Coleman, a lot of other guys have. But you're talking about a very savvy guy who has a very good feel for getting open. He could be one of the most savvy guys in the room. And he showed that day one from him stepping on this field. Came in a week or two late, and ever since he's came in, he's just been contributing in a positive way, making plays with or without the ball.
You know, one young guy I'll ask you about on the offensive side, but one young guy I'll ask you about is Darius.
Yeah, speed. Speed, man. His speed is special. We were able to see it OTAs. And, you know, he's getting back off a hamstring, and he's getting back comfortable. But that speed, man, he is the closest thing I've seen to Ted Ginn as far as being able to accelerate, not look like he's pushing or struggling, and still get behind safeties and DBs. I think he has a special ability to run, and I think he continues to keep crafting that and working on that. He can be a big deep threat in this league.
Does he run? And he came out of Auburn with the reputation of not having played in a complicated offense and maybe being, you know, what you'd call a one-trick pony, just a guy that could catch bubble screens and run the nine route. Can he do the rest of it?
He can do the whole route tree. I mean, he's probably one of the better double move guys we have in the room already, him being a rookie. I think just with Slay is just getting his feet wet, getting into real live games, some live bullets, you know, just continue to keep crafting, making up for the lost time he's had not being on the field the last 2-3 weeks, and just kind of just just hit the ground running. So his speed will enable him to just learn. You know, he can learn a little slower than most people, because if you're not that fast, you got to be able to have a complete route tree. But having speed like that, I mean, you can honestly be a nine route and a bubble screen guy and have a lot of success.
How's a guy like that last to the fifth round?
That's what I'm trying to see. I had the privilege of being with Curtis Samuel, and he was a speed guy. And I said, man, that speed is something that you just don't give up on easily.
I've taken quite a bit of your time here, so just let me ask you, in general, the guys on the other side of the ball, the young guys on the other side of the ball that you're working against, Julian and Corey and DeAndre, and you know, all of those young guys, who's really impressing you at this point?
I love Julian. I think Julian's going to play a long time in this league. I think Julian can play nickel. I think he can play outside. I think he can be a safety. I think he can be a special team guy. I'm a big fan of Julian Love. His demeanor, his attitude, I just think he's going to be a pro. If he stays healthy, he's going to play 10-plus years in this league.
Nice. And how impressive is Corey, just in terms, you know, what he went through, you know, personally, and where he is now, just, you know, being productive on the field? How impressive of a guy is that?
I mean, the things that he's done throughout the last 6 months, with everything he's been through, just explains just the type of person he is. He prevails, he thrives, and he's a guy that we want here. I mean, his physical game speaks for itself, seeing what he did last week, but mentally, culture-wise, he's exactly who we want here.
Lots of really thoughtful answers there from Russell Shepherd. I hope you guys enjoyed listening to that interview as much as I enjoyed the opportunity that I had to speak with Russ. One of the most interesting things that he talked about, we'll just kind of go through some of the things that Shepherd and I talked about. He mentioned replacing Odell Beckham, and he said that, you know, you can't replace him as an individual, but you can still succeed. You can still, you know, use all of the players on your roster, guys that have veteran experience. If guys do their jobs, basically, is, you know, was Shepherd's point. If guys do their jobs, the Giants should be okay. And it's interesting because after Friday night's game against the Chicago Bears, a game in which 14 different Giants caught passes, and obviously 14 guys are not going to catch passes in a regular season game, but it was just sort of indicative of the way the Giants are going to need to play offense this year, spreading the ball around. And Coach Pat Shurmur said that that it takes a village. He's looking for, you know, all of the wide receivers to contribute on offense. He's looking to spread the ball around. He's looking at the veteran guys that the Giants have, like Shepherd, like Benny Fowler, like Cody Latimer, like TJ Jones, Sterling Shepherd, and Golden Tate when he comes back. He's looking at those guys to be productive, to do their jobs, to be where Eli Manning expects them to be, or Daniel Jones if and when Jones gets to play. And if those guys do their jobs, if they run their pass routes correctly, if they catch the ball when they're supposed to catch it, then the Giants should be okay. I mean, remember that the offense is going to be built around Saquon Barkley, and it is probably going to be Evan Engram in the passing game, at least the way I see it. Engram is the real difference maker in that passing attack. He is the guy that I hope and that I think should emerge as the number one pass catcher in this offense. He's the guy who's the real matchup nightmare. We'll see if it turns out that way. But for the most part, the rest of these guys, Latimer, Fowler, Russell Shepherd, TJ Jones, all of these guys, they're complementary players. And as long as they do their jobs, I think the Giants should be okay in the wide receiver department. Another thing that I asked Shepherd about, kind of kiddingly, was the gunner stance that he takes when he's out wide in punt coverage. He takes a sort of modified three-point stance. I don't even know if it's a track stance or whatever, but I kind of kidded him about that. And he said it's just something he developed on his own to simply avoid a bad habit that he has of getting up too high, which enables blockers to more easily control him in his route down the field. So just a little interesting aside, the next time you see Shepherd out wide, you see him in an odd-looking stance, know that it's something that he developed on his own and that there is a legitimate reason for it. Also asked Russell about the comments that John Mara made a week or so ago that he thought the locker room was a better place this year. And Shepherd had some interesting things to say about that. One of the things he had to say was, you know, in regards to some of the guys that are gone, like Odell Beckham, like Olivier Vernon, like Landon Collins, some of like Damon Harrison, that he said those guys were terrific players. And he said what happens sometimes is you bring in a new coaching staff, you bring in a new system, you bring in a new way of doing things. And his point was that sometimes it is simply hard to get some veteran players who have had success doing certain things one way or playing in a certain scheme or practicing a certain way or being treated a certain way. Guys that have had success doing things one way, it can be difficult to get them to do things another way. And he said that the Giants are much younger this year, so they don't really have that kind of an issue. The veterans who they do have are solid guys, not superstar type players, guys that have been around the league, had some success. But, you know, guys like Russell Shepherd himself, guys like Michael Thomas, solid citizens, solid players, not superstar kinds of players, but guys who know what it takes, guys who can gain the respect of their teammates, guys who have value to offer beyond what they do on the field. I just thought that was a really interesting perspective, you know, from Shepherd on that. He also spoke a lot about the importance of culture and the importance of what Dave Gettleman and Pat Shurmur are trying to do here, the importance of veterans helping young players, and how all of that, how building a culture with these younger players of guys who understand the right way to do things, understand, you know, what it takes to be a pro, how that leads to winning, how that can help a locker room and help a team, you know, build a foundation for sustained success, which is something that Dave Gettleman has talked about on a number of occasions. So I thought it was really interesting that Shepherd went there and talked about that. And also, you know, I asked Russ about a couple of the defensive backs. He was extremely complimentary of Julian Love, the fourth round pick, guy who has played mostly in the slot and at free safety throughout training camp. Actually has probably played more free safety, but playing in both spots, learning two positions. Shep said, you know, that he believes that Julian Love can have a 10-year career in the NFL. And listening to him talk about Julian Love, I couldn't help but think about the skill set of former Giant Ontrell Roll, who during his career he played outside, was very successful outside, played free safety later in his career for the Giants, often moved down into the slot, you know, to try and cover guys later on in his career, you know, when he was at free safety, guy whose leadership was invaluable to the last Super Bowl title that the Giants won back in 2011. And maybe, just maybe, you know, you hope that Julian Love has a career that equals the kind of career that Ontrell Roll had. I don't think he's the same kind of personality. From talking to him, I can pretty much guarantee you that he's not the same sort of more outlandish, more outspoken personality that Ontrell Roll was. But I can't help but think about the skill set, you know, being somewhat similar, just in terms of being able to play multiple positions in the secondary. Shepard was also very complimentary of sixth-round pick Corey Ballantyne, you know, saying that he basically is the type of player, the type of person that the Giants want to build around. And I found it interesting, you know, just with everything that Ballantyne has been through, interesting that a veteran player like Russell Shepard showed so much respect for the young man. Anyway, Giants fans, I do hope that you enjoyed listening to the Shepard interview. I hope that during the course of the season, on occasion, we'll be able to bring you other clips like this. Please remember, subscribe to Big Blue View Radio on all of your favorite podcast applications. Join the community at BigBlueView.com if you haven't done so already so that you can comment and participate in the discussion. Thank you very much, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.